So in the middle of Parshas Kriya Shema, I'm recording this because I forgot to press the record button this morning when I gave the short shiur to the boys after davening. I was a little tired and it was Monday, so it was a long davening and my mind was elsewhere. I actually took out my phone, but I didn't press the button. In any event, Hishamu lachem pen yiftel levavchem, besartem bavadatem, elohim macharim ishtach avisim lem, b'charaf Hashem b'chem bavadatem, yirami al eretz hatova. Pretty straightforward. Cause and effect. Black and white. A causes B. Avodah Zarah, wandering, deviating from Hashem's desired path, causes us to be evicted, to suffer a galus. And yet we don't really live in such a black and white world. And this ambiguity was highlighted or featured in a very interesting story at a Beis HaAvel. Chiel builds Yericho against Yehoshua's ban or decree. And Yehoshua had decreed that the man who will rebuild Yericho will lose his first child as the foundations are laid and his final child as the project concludes. And so it happened with this man called Chiel. And who showed up to be Menachem Avel, the Gemara in the Sanhedrin Kuf Yud Gimel recounts, to be Menachem Avel Chiel, none other than Eliyahu and his sidekick Achav. They're always paired together. And Achav is questioning. It's not clear whether he's mimicking and trivializing and scorning, or he's honestly questioning Eliyahu. He says, how could Yehoshua's ban be fulfilled and executed in such a precise and immediate fashion? And yet Moshe Rabbeinu relaying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's warning that if the Jewish people deviate theologically into the world of paganism, that they'll be evicted from the land. And yet during the first Beis HaMikdash, Jews unfortunately, were immersed in the world of idolatry, and yet they weren't immediately evicted. This is, of course, Achav's challenge to Eliyahu. How could the student's curse be fulfilled and the teacher's curse, which of course is conveyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not have that same compulsion? And at that point, of course, Eliyahu initiates a famine, or praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu, initiates a famine, and so to speak, reminds Achav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's deal and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covenant and set of circumstances or conditions will also be actualized. But the question remains, as we say in the yeshiva world, Achav had a great havamina. Achav had a great point. And there are many answers to this question, but I think the Malbim's answer is the most central, is that Parshas Shema, V'hayim Shemoa, as well as the parallel in the Tohacha, describes a world in which cause and effect is immediate and transparent and overt. And if we fail religiously, then we receive consequences and punishments. But a greater punishment is to fall out of that reality into a world of ambiguity, which the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is disguised, in which consequences aren't felt in a direct and discernible sense, and without consequences, it's harder to correct or calibrate behavior. So you imagine if every time you failed religiously, there was some consequence. Be easier. We'd have greater discipline, greater commitment. But we live in a free fall, and we're unable to prevent these death spirals because there's no consequence or impact to our behavior, at least in an immediately discernible sense. And that's a worser fate, to be adrift without any compass or any yardstick to measure behavior, to create a sense of repair and restoration. In some ways, the world of Hayam Shemoa is a superior world. And that was more or less Eliyahu's response to Achav. He said, you're living in a world that's so fallen and so degraded morally that you're not even meriting the world of cause and consequence, of causality, that Parshas V'hayim Shemoa describes. And to a degree, when Eliyahu launches this famine, he's trying to reestablish a better world, which more enables religious correction and penitence and tshuva. And when we say V'hayim Shemoa, it's almost as if we're longing for that world of consequence. I know that in the immediate sense, living without consequence and without responsibility for our actions may seem more convenient, but in the moral sense and in the sweep of eternity, it's a nightmare. Where it's like living on endless credit, like basically overcharging your credit card and then waking up one day and realizing you've maxed out. So you've had an artificial run of indulgence and joy and seeming financial sustainability, but at some point it just collapses. And we're all living on credit. We're all living credit card religion without realizing the consequences of how many times we swipe the card. And sometimes when we say this in Kriya Shema, it's almost as if we yearn for that world, even though that world seems more intimidating to us and more frightening, but it's a healthier reality. Just like economic fitness is healthier, even though it's more demanding and challenging. Now, while Yahushua's ban was immediate, many different reasons, but it certainly wasn't collective or national or historical. It's a very, very isolated ban upon reconstructing Yericho, because it had been in Yerani Dachas, according to one position. The Gemara had been a city conquered on Shabbos, and the Kiddush of Shabbos couldn't be compromised, but it certainly doesn't reflect the broader Kashkacha of Hashem in the same way that Kriya Shema does, and that the presumed causality of Avodah Zarah and idolatry and losing our title to land and sovereignty, and that doesn't necessarily emerge immediately in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash until essentially the Jewish people hit such a low nadir and such a low state that it just becomes inevitable.